Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, and I want to welcome you tonight. It's September 8th at 8 o'clock. We're here each night, each Wednesday at 8 o'clock to actually celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And I want to welcome all our fans to The Backyard. I hope you've settled in your favorite chair under the tree, on the beach, on the terrace, or wherever you would be if you were in Jamaica, whether on a vacation or you have memories of growing up there. Now, this is Margaret, and you know Margaret is a senior with a passion for stories. And especially stories of my culture and my country. And I know that I have a lot of fans in the diaspora who feel the same way. Even though we're not there, we perhaps don't plan to go back there, but we're intrigued and enlightened, and we want to preserve all the wonderful, rich memories that we have and find out some things that we didn't know when we were growing up. Now, tonight, this will be particularly interesting to people who like mystery, and I, for one, didn't have any idea that things like this happened in the 17-something. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, everything is so horrible now, and people are so evil, and so many bad things are happening. But when we look back in history, we find a lot of things that are happening now are similar to a lot of things that happened way back when. So there are lots of lessons that I find in stories as they come to light about the past, and I'm sure that goes for every culture. But as we're dealing with Jamaica, that's what I'm talking about. So tonight, our story is about the Mad Master of 1760. A man, that is a long time ago. So I'm going to be sharing a story as it's documented on Pieces of the Past, one of my favorite sections that is available on the internet to anyone. But I know a lot of people just don't have time to do this research, so it just makes me very happy to be able to share some of this information that is available to everybody. And of course, I want to give credit to Dr. Rebecca Tortello, who put most of the articles that are online in Pieces of the Past together. I am hoping that one day I'll have the honor of welcoming Dr. Tortello to the show. So, for the rest of my fans who love history or mystery, this story is going to be very, very interesting. So, with that, I will begin to read from pieces of the past. And you know what I always do. I read part of the story, then I give a little sidebar. And I also ask if there are any listeners on the board who would like to make a comment or to relate, can relate to something about the story or what I said about the story, feel free to hit 1 on your telephone. And that will tell me that you want to join the Labrish. And that's what a Labrish is. It's an interaction between people of like minds about something. Sometimes visitors might think that a Labrish, people who don't know, you know, Jamaican sayings might think a Labrish is a gossip. Or some Jamaicans might even describe it as a gossip. But to me, it's a way people get together to have a Labrish about something that they're interested in. So that's what we do here each week, and we hope you enjoy our shows. We ask you to make comments, and we ask you to interact. So with that said, here goes Pieces of the Past by Dr. Tortello, Rebecca Tortello. Now, some Jamaicans perhaps know where this is. I don't, but we're going to talk about what was called then a castle. So located in the Pedro district of St. Anne on a low hill near to where the main road from St. Anne's Bay to Jamaica's south side used to run lies the ruins of Edinburgh Castle, so named by a Scottish architect. It was built in the 1700s and it stood small and square with two stories and two circular loop-holed towers at opposing diagonal corners. I suppose it was quite a structure. The road no longer runs close to the building, once loftily titled a castle. To those passers-by of today, it may seem like nothing more than an old ruin. Yet those old stones bear the burden of one of the most evil pieces of Jamaica's history, the story of Lewis Hutchison, said to be the most feared and hated man of his day. Now, Hutchison, known better as the Mad Master of Edinburgh Castle, was born in Scotland in 1733. Where it is believed that he studied medicine for a while. Now, he came to Jamaica in the 1760s to run an estate on which a house known as Edinburgh Castle sat. Now, although he's said to have acquired the land legally, his collection of cattle was said to consist mostly of strays from neighboring pens. Cattle stealing, however, was the least of red-haired Hutchison's sins. Not too long after Hutchison's arrival, cases of travelers disappearing without a trace began to mount in number, and suspicion ran rampant, but no one could ever have suspected the level of torture they experienced. Travelers would occasionally stop to rest at Edinburgh Castle, the only inhabited spot for miles on the way from St. Anne south, not knowing that they would become the target of Hutchison's unreeling aim. Hutchison killed for sport, not money. As travelers of all shapes, sizes and income levels were equal game. It is said that he fed off the flow of blood and often dismembered his victims and left them in the hollow trunk of a cotton tree, a sinkhole, or for vultures to carry on where he left off. The hole became known as Hutchison's Hole. Now, how gruesome is that? This is my sidebar. You know, we think of these stories when we see them here on American TV and figure, how could they? But here we are as someone in 16-whatever in our little tiny island of Jamaica having this gruesome, awful, evil spirit. I never heard of this when I was growing up. Perhaps it's a good thing because we had enough Duffy stories to worry about. Okay, back to the article. And remember, callers, you can always join in the Labrish by hitting 1 on your telephone and give me your sidebar, your comment, anything. It's getting scary here. Now, Hutchison's slaves added their own tale of mistreatment, and his reputation for evil doing became legend. In fact, his reputation was for vanility, V-I-L-L-A-I-N-Y. Sometimes, forgive me, but, you know, I have a challenged sight. So, and my print sometimes is too small. So whatever was such that no one wanted to go near him if they could avoid it. Therefore, great hesitation and fear took root among those officials who could serve him with a warrant. Now, time continued to pass, and still Hutchison went on with whatever he went on with. So, sidebar now. Can you not relate to the now where people know bad things are going on someplace and are just too scared to talk about it for fear perhaps of their own lives or just participating, you know, in being the stoolie or whatever they call them. So whenever I talk about or bring to light a story, a real story of the past, it reminds me so much of how humans are just humans. You know, we still have evil people among us doing things. We still have people looking the other way. And we still have people who think they cannot do anything about somebody doing wrong. So I'm telling you, I just really, really, as old as I am, can really think how, as humans, we are so much alike, whether we relate to people that were living in that period of time, whether they were black or white or rich or poor. And it's so much like the stories we hear now or, you know, the things we know that are happening now. Anyway, back to the story. Not even his brutal and unwarranted attack. No, time continued to pass. Sorry, I'm backing up here. Time continued to pass, and still Hutchison remained free. Not even his brutal and unwarranted attack on his unarmed neighbor, a Dr. Hutton, which caused the good doctor who was en route to join his family on a trip to England to wear a silver plate in his head for the remainder of his life, changed things. Eventually, however, a young English soldier, John Candelaire, bravely set out to bring Hutchison in. Hutchison calmly shot him on sight, but unaware that more soldiers would follow their commander. Apparently, this John person was the commander of other soldiers. He's then said to have fled south to Old Harbor, where he set off by sea. Now, unbeknownst to Hutchison, the Royal Navy, commanded by Admiral Rodney, whose statue now stands in Spanish Town Square, was keeping watch for Hutchison's craft, and he was intercepted. Now, increasingly desperate, Hutchison tried to leap overboard, but his red hair made him easy to see, and he wasn't able to get very far. Admiral Rodney was congratulated by Jamaica's House of Assembly for his assistance in apprehending Hutchison and placing him securely behind bars. Now I want to do a little sidebar. Now, it seemed to me like this gentleman who commanded the troops that went to get him, he knew pretty well that he perhaps would die. But this man was such an evil person that John Candelar, C-A-L-L-E-N-D-A-R, bravely set out to bring him to justice. So, you know, even in those days, there were evil people and there were brave people who were willing to sacrifice to get the bad guy in. So, boy, this is something else. Now, back to the article. Legal proceedings against the Mad Master of Edinburgh Castle commenced, and soon tales of devilry that almost defy the imagination began to surface. Edinburgh Castle was searched, and clothing said to have belonged to his victims, those travelers who had disappeared, were found. Hutchison's slaves eagerly relinquished their long-held silence, detailing crime after crime, but all was hearsay, judged unfit to stand up in a court of law. So Hutchison, who was believed to have committed multiple murders, was tried for only one murder, and one murderer only, that of the English soldier, John. Now, during the trial, however, the stories of his slaves were substantiated, and it was further revealed that Hutchison had not carried out his evil acts alone. The existence of a neighboring group of perverted minds was also revealed. A few members, planter James Walker and Roger Maddox, were tried, found guilty, and condemned to death for their own parts in the murder of farmer William Lickey and schoolmaster Timothy Corrin. It is said that along with Maddox and Lewis, Maddox's wife, a woman, Dorcas, D-O-R-C-A-S, and a Miss Cole and a Miss Elizabeth Thomas watch schoolmaster Corrin's death by strangulation. Oh, dear. I can't even think of that. Women in those days watching. The evil minds reigned even then. Okay, now, one of the victims' watch and seal were later found in one of the women's position, Elizabeth Thomas' position. Now, Miss Thomas was tried, pleaded not guilty, and received judgment as such. So I'm assuming that meant that she was found not guilty because all she did was watched, and she had the man's belonging. Now, Lewis Hutchison was not so guilty, however. Although he entered a plea of not guilty and was defended by one of the island's most esteemed lawyers, he was tried, found guilty, and condemned to death by hanging in Spanish Town Square. The records of his trial stand in the National Archives. Now, defiant even in death, Hutchison left funds to inscribe his own line epitaph on his marble tombstone. Listen to what this evil man wanted to say. Their sentence, pride, and malice I defy, despite their power, and like a Roman die. Isn't that something? His wishes, as befitting his remarks of such a man, were ignored. Hallelujah. so he didn't get that written on his tombstone. Today, the ruins of Edinburgh Castle still stand silently, betraying no hint of the acts of evil that took place centuries ago. The actions of the Mad Master of Edinburgh Castle, like those of another character, Anne Palmer, the White Witch of Rosehall, lives on in the annals of Jamaican history. Now, what a story! And I see a hand up from 631-451, and I'm going to open up the mic. Good evening. Welcome to the backyard. Who do I have in the labyrinth?
Good evening, Margaret. This is Janine from Long Island.
Oh, hi, Janine. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Did you ever hear that story before?
No. That's
oh, my God.
That's it a scary is one.
Blood curling. But, you know, as I mentioned before, I find so much, you know, things from the past that relate to the now. You know, evil people are, I suppose, will always be around.
Yes.
But the good part about it is, you know, justice.
Yes.
You know, we have to have justice.
Yes.
And people have to be brought and be accountable for what they do.
Exactly.
Because if it wasn't for the bravery of this soldier, who I'm sure knew he was going to be killed, it
yes.
doesn't. But I wanted to point one thing out that I found interesting. Is that, you know, these stories are being just put together, I suppose, by documentation and facts. And that is why I'm just so excited about this platform that we have here on Blog Talk Radio, because it gives people an opportunity to record the stories that they have and they want to record and they want to, you know, to tell. And there's nothing like, we don't have any written thing word for word from any of the slaves that wanted to talk. I suppose if they said that the records are in the archives, I suppose legal minds that might be intrigued by the story could go and read it. But I also noticed that most of the writings in those times were sort of in the old English.
English, yes.
And they use different words to describe, you know, that we would use perhaps different words today to
yes.
say the same things.
Mm-hmm.
But I just found it a very interesting and intriguing story because I had no idea that this had actually happened. And I'm not sure if the ruins still stand in Jamaica now. I don't really know. And if anybody on the board is from that area, I see we have several callers tonight from 301-718. Somebody's Skyping in, 631, which is you, Janine. But I would really love to know because, as I said, I left Jamaica in 1959,
right.
and I haven't a clue what is still, you know,
okay.
visible and standing. And I know we have had a lot of natural disasters there, and I don't know if some of these ruins are still visible. And if there's anyone on the board from around that area of St. Anne's Bay, and this would be the ruins of Edinburgh Castle. Now, there is a picture of it online, and I'm going to ask my techie person who to perhaps see if we can get a picture of the ruin online. It's a very fuzzy picture,
yes.
so it might be difficult. But I just thought it was a real interesting story about that period of time.
Yes.
So I've been babbling on, Janine, but I wanted to know if you had a comment about the story.
Well, it is so scary. I'm here just listening.
Can you imagine these poor travelers trying to rest at this place because they say it was the only inhabited place on
yes.
the roads? But can you imagine just what the roads were like?
Yes.
And somebody's trying to get to the other side of the island, and they would possibly stop there.
Right.
Because it was, you know, he had an estate, and they were slaves on it.
Right.
And nobody knows if he was using them for experiments, his own experiments, or anything. Ooh, it's so scary.
Yeah, I didn't, to be honest, I wasn't on when you first started reading the story, so I missed out on that part.
I see. Well, actually, it just says that, you know, where the castle is located,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that people talked about it. They knew that something scary was going on because people would start out from one point and don't reach the other point they're going. And then he attacked his neighbor. The documents don't say how close the neighbor was, but apparently it might be that the neighbor was a traveler too, because it says he was on his way to visit his family in England.
Okay.
So it seems to me that this doctor, who might have been the next person in another part of the St. Anne's area, mm-hmm. stopped at his castle for whatever, and he viciously attacked him.
Oh, God. He was just going around killing people.
Oh, yes. And everybody knew. Everybody knew, but they were too scared to apprehend him until this brave soldier says, you know, I'll do it.
Yes.
So I just found it to be very intriguing. Another thing is, we can always, you know, learn so much from the past. It's not everything we learn we are proud of, but in this case, to me, it shows that this soldier might have been a young person. No mention was made of his age or anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
However, I can see that it took a lot of bravery to take that on.
Yes.
And obviously, he felt that he needed to do something about it.
Yes.
So although he was the one that got shot, he had his other shoulders that he was commanding hiding from the man, or apparently he would have killed all of them.
Yes.
And then he took off by sea.
Oh.
But it was set up where the Rodney person was out at sea because they anticipated his move.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But isn't it ironic, like it happened in many times in our fish story, it was something else, that it's because of his hair. It's because of the color of his hair why they were able to spot him.
It was red.
Yes. And all those little things I find so fascinating, really.
Yes.
That you know, and of course his time was come to be caught, I suppose,
yes.
because he didn't think that his hair was going to be the one that drew him in.
No.
Or I'm sure he perhaps would wear a black cloth or something over it.
Yeah, he would have done something.
Right. But actually, I want to just tell you that tonight we're also going to be talking about a more positive affair that will be going on here in Atlanta. Because, you know, I'm sure, like myself, a lot of people in the diaspora, although we are not planning to go back to Jamaica, some people may be, but I know I'm not, but we still want to be aware of what's happening there and do all we can to help, because
right.
we want to retain our culture and we want to, you know, have a strong, vibrant country, and we can only do that by helping the young people, because the children are the future of the world, all over the world, not just Jamaica alone. So whenever I do the show, I want to encourage the people who might come by later and listen. And we do have a lot of people that come by later and listen, because it might not be convenient for them to tune in on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock when we're here. But I want to tell our listeners on the board and those that may be listening online that whenever you listen to a show, whether you come the night of the show or after, you can always forward that show to someone you think may have an interest in that subject. And we have a variety of subjects that we discuss, because our mantra, our motto, our objective is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love.
Right.
So, and I really appreciate the support Janine, I really appreciate your support and the support of all the callers on the board and those who are listening online. Each week, I see that some of the callers, although they don't interact with me, they stay the course.
Right.
And they listen to the show, and I'm asking them to continue to spread the word, because apparently they are, because we're getting a lot of hits on the various shows that we're done. And for the listeners who are online, on the board, or listening on their computers, or come by later, all the shows that we've ever done, they're all archived, and if you look under any month, you will find all the shows that were done, and you can click on anyone and listen to that particular show. Then if you want to share that link, just copy the address in your address bar, and you can send that link to anyone you think may have an interest in it. In the meantime, I would like to ask you to visit Backyard Labrish, and you can visit us by going to www.backyardlabrish.com. And for the visitors who might not know what a labrish, how it's spelled, it's just like it sound. You know how to spell backyard. And labrish is L-A-B-R-I-S-H, which is just the way it sounds when we say it. So with that said, I want to tell our listeners on the board and online that I'm expecting a special guest this evening. Who we have an organization. I broadcast from the Atlanta area, and there, just like I'm sure in your city, there are several organizations that are helping a school or some charity in Jamaica. I want to encourage you to support it. Here in Atlanta, we have several organizations, and I try to give them some time on our show as we do it, because everybody has a website now, and if you're moved to contribute to something in some way, you know, that's how we can give back as a people to, you know, to help to improve somebody else's life.
Right.
And this evening we'll be having a guest, one of the executives of the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta. That is an organization that have an event coming up, a family event, in this month, in September. So I expect her to be calling in shortly. In the meantime, I want to ask our listeners that I would love to have you make suggestions as to what you'd like to hear on Backyard Labrish. I have been using segments of Pieces of the Past. I've used several articles from the Jamaican Heritage by Miss Olive Seymour. I've used Dr. Joy Lumsden's material, and I've used some current events, and I'm always open to suggestions. But what I'm actually trying to do is to find some senior Jamaicans that would love to tell us their stories of what life was like when they growing up, especially before independence, anyone that, you know, has experience before that, because the reason is there's a lot of information online now of what has happened, you know, since independence. There's a lot of communication going on, lots of websites, lots of information, lots of blogging. But there's really not a lot of information about pre-independence from people who lived it. And I'm trying to get more people who grew up during that period to help me out here on Backyard Labrish by telling of where they grew up, how they grew up, if they're still living there, how have things changed, you know, what's happening. I think it is so rich when you can hear a story from the people who lived it, as opposed to someone of another period who's writing about it.
Right.
Because it's never the same. It can be really a lot richer if it comes from the people who experienced it. Don't you agree, Janine?
I agree with that, yes.
Okay, good. So I am hoping that some of my listeners will, you know, send me an email or give me a call about or come on the board and put up your hands about someone that you know that would like to share their story with us on Backyard Lavish.
Yes.
And at this point, I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Backyard Lavish on Blog Talk Radio. We're here each week at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, where we just lavish about a subject that hopefully is interesting to a lot of people. So with that said, I see 718, I see Skypers in, and I want to find out if there is anyone who would like to join the Labrish and say something. I'm waiting, and I am never sure if someone on Skype, if they hit one, I would see the same hand raised. So right now I'm challenging my Skypers to hit one on their keyboard. Even if you don't want to talk, at least it will tell me how the Skype thingy works. Remember, this is a old lady here, and I'm not very techy, and you need to help me out. Help me out here, callers. So, Miss Janine.
Yes.
Do you see how it is that, you know, humans are humans, and just like we had people in those days, with evil thoughts and evil things in their minds. And then they had other people join them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Join them in this horrible act.
Yes, it's still happening.
And women, I mean, that really shook me up.
Yeah.
Because you know how you think, especially of our forefathers, we think of them as just being so pure and innocent. And
I'm sure
there were, I mean, I am really... That sort of freaked me out a little, because now when I read of things that women and young girls are participating, I said, oh, my gosh, I just can't even wrap my mind around it.
Yes, it's
you know, but now here's a story where these women watched as this man did this hideous thing.
And did nothing.
They had the people's possession in their possession. But isn't that ironic that even though this woman had, they found the things in her house, I suppose, she was found not guilty. But, you know, technically, she did not apparently participate, except for watching.
Yeah.
She did not participate in getting rid of the people.
But
she just watched as he did.
You would think with her watching... That would be a part of, you know, being, you know, involved.
Accessory, but apparently they didn't have, the law didn't go that far in those days. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But what I found interesting, too, you know, I grew up in Jamaica when the hanging was going on in Spanish Town.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only place that they would execute someone by hanging.
Right.
But I didn't know that it went back so far as 17, that they were hanging people in the same place.
Yeah.
That far back.
Oh.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
And
I knew of the hanging, but I didn't know how far back it went, you know.
And did you know that it was in Spanish Town? And that was the only place that it was
that
done?
They would do it, yes, yes.
Right, I always knew that. But I know that they're not doing it now, are they?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. And I don't know if they're still sentencing people to death. And if so, what if they are?
What method?
Right. I don't know. So if anyone is on the board, remember this is an enlightening period for everybody. If someone, a caller on the board, or if a caller that's listening online has this information they can share with us, you would have to call us at 718-766-4558 and hit 1 on your keyboard, and that would tell me that you're interested in joining the Labrish and telling us something about this interesting story that we're trying to diffuse and dissect. Oh, I shouldn't use that word. But, you know, at least find out more about. Now, 718-379, would you like to say something? I guess not. Anyway, I thought I saw a hand by that person, so please forgive me. Back to you, Janine.
Yeah.
When I grew up in Jamaica in the, you know, in the, I suppose, I was born in 1935, the 40s and 50s, I never traveled much by roads. We would go by train.
Yes.
So, you know, the train or the diesel in those days would take you to a point and then you would ride on the Royal Mail, I think it was called.
Yes.
Which was where they would, that vehicle that would take the bags of mail from the train to the post office.
Right.
And sometimes the post office was not necessarily located right near the train line.
Right.
So I remember we would come off the train. I would get off the train on the I would ride on the Royal Mail to where the post office is. And then I cannot remember if my people would come to get me at where the post office is or the Royal Mail would go to the Savlamar post office where I would get off. I mean, my memory is sort of fuzzy where that is concerned. But I was born and raised in Kingston, but my relatives, my mother's relatives, were all in Savlamar in Westmoreland, which Savlamar is the capital. And it wasn't really a country. It being the capital, it was, I suppose, like a small state-scale Kingston, because she went to the market. We didn't have things growing in the backyard, although there were fruit trees and, you know, little vegetable gardens and things like that. It wasn't like the real country.
Right.
So what kind of experience did you have during your growing up days? Did you grow up in the country?
No. I was also born in Kingston.
But
my mother's family were from Kingston, my father's family from Trelawney. So, but when we used to go there, we used to go by car, right, from Kingston to the country. But I was born in 1945, so my time was a little further than
Right. I was a little way before that. Well, not way, but, you know,
but
quite before that.
Yes. So, you know, at that time, we didn't go by train or anything like that. We went directly by car.
Right. Well, I did go by car sometimes, but I think it was easier, well, in the early days when I was small, to go by diesel. It was not the train, because then the train took more of the things, goods, like goods and services, you know, market the people who produce things and brought to Kingston or whatever.
Yes.
You know, but the diesel was more the mode of transportation for passengers that were just visiting, you know, going, and not, they didn't have stuff they were carrying with them that would be a lot.
Yes.
So
I remember the first time I went to Trelawney, my Aunt Gloria, the same one that you interviewed, and her husband came to Kingston because her daughter grew up with us and went to school there. And he drove this truck, you know, where you have a lot of space in the back and it have the, what you call it, the top awning or whatever you call it on the top.
And they would drive with the top awning on the top?
Yes. Yes, it was like
and that would be if in case it rained?
Rain, yeah. It was a covering for the top of the truck. And that was the first time my sister, my brother, and myself went to country. And they had asked my parents if we could come back because they came for their daughter for the summer to take her home. And, of course, my mother was a little skeptical because she didn't like us leaving home. But my father, you know, it was his family and he knew that we would be okay. It's just that the lifestyle would be so different.
Right. Excuse me, I see a Skyper's hand. How cool is that? Skype works.
Yes.
Yes, go on, and I'm going to open up for the Skyper.
So the first time we went in the truck and we sat in the back, and because my aunt and my uncle, they were in the front. And the children, you know, my sibling and my cousin and myself, we sat in the back. And I tell you, it was so different, and we felt like, oh, my God, this is so good, and the breeze blowing in, and it was really a nice
fun.
Yes, yes, it was a good experience. And then when we went, it was night, and it was dark, and at that time, they used like the kerosene lamps.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. So that part of it was scary because, you know, it was so different from Kingston.
Uh-huh. And what parish were you going to?
Trelawney.
I got you.
Ultra Spring. Trelawney.
Well, that is a great story. Thank you. I'm going to open up to the Skyper. I've never had a Skyper put up their hand before. Hello, Skyper. This is Margaret in the backyard. Who do I have? Hello? I suppose they're putting up their hand just to let me know that it works.
Yes.
So whoever the Skyper is, your mic is open if you want to say hello to the world. Hello? No one there. But we know Skype works.
Yes.
And we welcome the Skypers.
Yes.
And, of course, I am always anxious to get some interaction in the labyrinth. So if Skypers or non-Skypers would like us to discuss something special or would like to share their stories or know someone who would like to share a story with us on Backyard Labyrinth, the whole idea here is to have some living documentation of how things were in Jamaica when we grew up. I think that although you might think the younger people are not interested, there might come a time when they might be. And that is why I am leaving these little nuggets of wisdom, if I may. And I always appreciate any other nuggets of wisdom or any information that is we can preserve about how things were when we grew up way back when. So I thank my Skype for letting me know that Skype works when you hit 1 if you want to interact or join the Labyrinth. But apparently this Skype wants to remain, anonymous. Now I have a 404-935 that I'm going to open up the mic to. So good evening and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
I'm calling from Canada.
Well, hello there. And who do we have?
You have Carleen.
Oh, hi, Miss Carleen. What part of Canada do you live?
I live in Oakville.
Ooh, cool. And are you from Jamaica, land we love?
Yes, yes, a very long time ago. I left Jamaica in 1961.
Wow, that's before me.
Oh, yes, I think I'm before everybody.
No, well, perhaps.
I think I came to Canada before the Red Indians, and then the Red Indians came after me.
I got you.
It just
seems
that way. Anyway, what I was interested in was, because it was the parish of St. Anne's, my family were from St. Anne's. The Dunn family had originally owned the Dunn's River Falls area. My sister and myself have not been able to get any information from the records about the Dunn's family before the property was sold to the government. So we need to get anybody that knows any information about the Dunn's River Falls would be very interesting to me.
Oh, well, good. We can put out the word to the world that, you know, because some time ago somebody made a request about hooking up with someone they went to school with, and they did. Somebody called in and told them how to connect with that person.
Right.
So, Miss Carleen, you are requesting if anyone has information about the Dunn's River Falls area?
Yeah. Of the Falls area, it's yes, around the entire property on which the falls are.
Right.
So I wondered if anyone had any information on that. And because we haven't been able to get any, my family hasn't been able to get any of the records of that from the various places that we try to get our genealogy, and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Have you checked with the Jamaican archives or things like that?
We did that.
Okay.
And we couldn't get any information on them.
Okay.
On it, so I just wondered if anybody else had done any kind of research into that part of Jamaica where the Dunn's River Falls were.
Right. Let me ask you something. Have you ever heard, is that in St. Anne's? I'm sort of a little very knowledgeable. Have you ever heard of this Mad Master story? Of the ruins.
Never have I ever heard of that one.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, wow. I know I never heard of it either. However, you know, I don't know a lot of things because I was not interested in history, nor did I get interesting history when I went to school in Jamaica. However, I'm very interested in history now, and I am like a kid in a candy shop when I go through these stories. I'm intrigued by them. They inspire me. I am just excited to share them, and I'm hoping that my listeners, I see the board is full, are you know as intrigued with these stories as I am, and that there are lots more to share.
Well,
so I encourage the callers to keep calling in because every week I try to have something of interest, you know, for everybody.
Well, I'll leave you now, and I'll just listen in and see if anyone else has other things to say. Well, I find your show extremely interesting, Margaret.
Well, thank you so much, Miss Carlene, and I hope you'll spread the word to your Canadian friends.
I certainly will.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, and I'm going to close your mic now.
Okay.
Keep listening. Well, it's always nice to have someone, you know, join the Labrish and tell me a little bit about themselves and where they're calling from, because it sort of gives me an idea of, you know, what's happening around. But I must tell my callers that I'm very, very encouraged because, you know, I get emails from, and the shows, particular shows, are getting different hits. Because people are interested in whatever the keywords that relate to that story is, I suppose, and they're listening to the stories. So I know that people in the diaspora who are all over the world, I get emails from India, China, just all over, and I'm very encouraged. I appreciate everybody that respond in any way they do. I really, really appreciate it because it keeps me going. And I just want to tell our listeners that I got the idea to do this show because I took a trip to Europe 2.5 years ago. I stayed in a bed and breakfast in Madrid, and I was very impressed. It was in the home of a senior family. They were in their 70s. And they're 3 generations or 4 generations of their children and grandchildren and all of that was more or less doing a lot of the same things that, you know, they did. And they were very involved with the Internet. They taught me a lot of things that were going on online for the short time I was there with them. And I at the time, I wondered, because I have young grandchildren for my age, they're young, I wondered if that were born here, my children were also born here, so I wondered what would my grandchildren see or hear or know about me, find out about me and the period that I grew up in Jamaica if they went online. So I went online and found that there was nothing really that related or gave information in especially that the kids would be interested in, of my period. And that's what gave me the idea to start this program. And I am just really, you know, so glad that there's so many other people that find it interesting too, because I just started it basically for myself. I mean, that might sound selfish, but I wanted to use the platform to have so that my grandchildren could hear my voice and at least get some ideas about things that happened even before my time on the tiny island. And the information that I have discovered has really just blown my mind, because I've done shows about, you know, students from Howard who were Jamaican being received in the White House under Theodore Roosevelt. And I know students who graduated from Howard who never knew that. And so much of this material is being pieced together by research buffs like Dr. Lumsden and Dr. Rebecca Tortello and, you know, Olive Senior. They're just piecing things together. And it's so much nicer if a lot of the senior Jamaicans would really realize how important it is to record their stories, their personal stories, for their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren. And this is a wonderful medium to use. So if anyone that's on the board is interested in knowing how to do it, I'd be more than happy to help them and share them with it. You know, as a matter of fact, I can do personal, private stories that you can share with your families and your families alone. It doesn't have to be public like we're speaking to the world now. You know, I believe that there is so much negative things going on about each country, but especially Jamaica, that I think I'm doing my part by sharing positive stories, and I am just so inspired that so many people are listening and are like you, Janine, and the people who would come on and give their opinion and, you know, things like that. We don't discuss politics or religion, but I try to keep it to the point where it's celebrating, enlightening, and preserving things about our very diverse culture that existed at least when I grew up there. And I am just so grateful that I was born and raised there. I really, really am, because I think it has made me who I am, and I love who I am.
That's it.
So with that said, I am waiting for the one of the representatives of the Benevolent Missions of Atlanta to come online to tell us about her project. But and if she's online, would she please raise her hand? I don't seem to recognize the number from that particular person. However, I did want to tell you, for our Atlanta fans, that there is going to be an event, a fundraising event on the 25th, Saturday the 25th of September, between 12 and 6, and the title of that particular, for that particular program is Every Child Must Learn. And this is an organization that raises funds for Jamaica. They have a website. I think it must be bma.com or benevolentmissionsofatlanta.com.
And Margaret, come on. Margaret, it's Gail Donwell, and I'm on.
Oh, hi, Gail. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I didn't know you were on.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I suppose you heard the gruesome story, or you might not, but we discussed a very gruesome story that happened in 1766 or whenever. So now I was just talking to my listeners of how, you know, humans are humans regardless of when they lived or where they were, or whether they were rich or poor, black or white. There's so many similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Because here we are now, we're able to talk to you about something positive that your group is doing for children. So do you want to share with us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, yes, sure. The organization is Benevolent Missions of Atlanta, and we help students in Jamaica and Atlanta, at-risk kids, with books and uniforms and lunches. We do computer labs for schools as well. And we basically just go into the schools and try to help the children at the primary school level in Jamaica. And we have mentorship programs here in Atlanta that we do for the in the Atlanta area for the schools here.
And you want to tell us about the upcoming event?
Sure. We're having a poolside fit on the 25th of September. And it's going to be at the Mayfair Renaissance downtown. Actually, it's Midtown Atlanta. Contributions are $15 for adults and $5 for children under 12. And it's going to be one of the most exciting pool fits you've been to. We have lots of surprises that we're not going to share just yet. But we're looking forward to having everybody out. It's just right after the hot summer months, going into a little bit of fall temperature, so the temperature should be really great. We're going to have movies for kids. We're going to have games. It's going to be a fabulous event. So we'd like everyone to come out. You can get tickets on our website or from, contacting me. And I'll give you the number. It's 404-307-7196 or Joanne McNeish, who is our fundraising chairperson, and her number is 404-317-1850.
Okay, I'd also like to make a suggestion.
Sure.
I know that a lot of our business are, they're all over the world and all over different states. And I always think that people, are led to give. If you are led to contribute to an organization that supports Jamaica, what you can do is go on the website and just buy a ticket. Even though you might not be attending the affair, you can perhaps make a comment and ask them to donate that ticket, perhaps to a needy child or a needy family here. But,
That's a great idea.
So much from giving, and a lot of times we don't have a lot of money to give. But, we can, promote another child or a family from a child from a particular family here, even though we might not be here, to attend, is my point.
That's correct.
Give the website address, please?
The website address is www.benevolentmissions.com.
Okay. And may I suggest that if our listeners are not able to attend, if they're not even able to buy a whole ticket, you can donate whatever you can afford.
That's correct, Margaret. We'll take any donations that we get.
All right. And remember that if we want to leave a part of us here on the earth, we need to help a child because they are the extension of us. And the more we educate children, is the better the world will be. So whether you're from the Jamaican culture or you're from another culture, my encouragement as a senior to you is give from the heart whatever you can afford to give. And always remember that when you help anyone, but especially a child, you're leaving a part of you here.
Amen.
So with that said, I want to thank you, Gail, for sharing with us what you and your organization is doing for the children there. And I want to thank you and commend you and your group for doing it.
Thank you so much, Margaret.
You're most welcome. And I'm asking all our listeners to remember that we're here every week at 8 o'clock. I want you to share what we do here with your friends that you think may be interested. They don't have to be Jamaicans. A lot of people that are not Jamaicans love Jamaica and love to learn about culture. You have a lot of people who love to learn about history, and we do all of that because, remember, all we do here in the backyard is to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica. Everybody say it now. Land,
we love.
So with that said, thanks again, Gail. And thank you to all my listeners on the board and those listening online. And I know you will have a very successful event. Gail, are you still there?
I am, Margaret. Thank you so much for having me.
You are most welcome. And keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
And for the history buffs and the mystery buffs, I hope you've had a little fun hearing about what happened in the 17s, whatever, on our tiny little island. And please let me know some of the things you'd like to hear about. But there's lots of cool stuff, not all horrible and gruesome, lots of cool stuff that we are going to be discussing in the future. So join us again next week when we'll be here in the backyard just pretending we're under our favorite mango tree or nesberry tree or something, or on the beach just hanging out, listening to our favorite music and feeling the trade winds blowing gently across our faces. So now we're having a virtual trip back to Jamaica. So with that said, I want to say good night, and remember, make it a great week. Amen. Bye.